Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Retta Tappan Show live here on Blog Talk Radio. Today is New Year's Eve, 2022. Retta, are you there on the line with me? Can you hear me right now? That's bad.
Can.
Okay, great. So it looks like that we're having some problems with our live stream. So we're just going to be an audio show for today. And that's all right, because today is actually our final program. We will be ending this series today and rebranding ourselves into something new and better that'll be coming over the next month or so. We are in a Mercury retrograde right now, so it wouldn't be very wise to start something new. But at the very least, you know, we can go ahead and take what we started during our Mercury retrograde long ago and finish this one up here. So we're going to be switching to a different format that'll be coming to you next year. We'll be taking a lot more write-in questions. We'll temporarily be doing some call-in shows like we are right now. And then we will be switching that format a little bit more to do some new and exciting things coming up. So do stay tuned for that. And remember to go over to eastrologer.tv. And at the bottom of the page, you can just enter your email address to get email updates. That way, whenever the new show is announced, that day and time when that comes, you'll always be notified and in the know about what's going on here at eAstrologer. So Beretta, I know this is the end of the year for us. We're finally going to be closing down a year. And we've been off for a few weeks now. I've had a relatively challenging few weeks, let's say. You know, one of the great things about the show is that it's a karma sink for me, so a lot of like my just general nastiness that I feel in life, I channel that all in a really positive way here on this program by helping other people out and doing Uranian astrology readings. But when you take that vent out of my life, then the anger ramps up pretty quickly, and it's unpleasant. Would you agree with that your quality of life is definitely different when we're on a break?
Well, my quality of life is most definitely different. So I think, you know, when we have those gaps of time, there's most definitely a reason for it. And, you know, it's the universe's way of sparing us the difficulty of trying to juggle way too much, you know, more than we can actually handle. And this time frame for me has definitely been about repair, and then the beginning of next year is for sure going to be about rejuvenate and, you know, refresh, rebrand, reconstitute ourselves in a manner, in a way that we can handle then the challenges to come. So I would say my quality of life has definitely changed, but it's changed enough that it's focuses on bringing me back to balanced. So
it's definitely a change, you know. And like I had the unfortunate experience recently where I had to get involved with somebody that is, you know, what we would call a toxic relationship, to put it lightly. And you know, it's like, for anybody who's not familiar with the notion of psychic attack, you may have heard this along the years, but really what that's referring to is just, you know, an energy that assaults you that you never asked for. It's literally the equivalent of being slapped, that somebody says something that is just so like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then, you know, we stick around in these situations because we have to, because we need information, or we need money, or we need whatever it is that we need. So we force ourselves to do these things. Well, you know, like in my case, I eventually realized, you know, like, this is not me. This is gaslighting. You know, this is just a bunch of BS. But then I would lie to myself and say, but I need to have this person in my life because I have to get this information. Because if I don't, then, you know, where else am I going to get it? Well, I'm sorry, but I just ripped off the Band-Aid. I do not care what the future holds if I do or don't get these other things that I was keeping this other person around for. You know why? Because very simply, a future without abusers will always be better 100% of the time, no matter what. And we will always figure out what we're supposed to do in our own time anyway. So, you know, one of the things that I live by is cut off the gangrenous wounds. So, you know, get rid of the cancer in your life. A lot of us seem to think that we have to do these things, or that, you know, that life has to be difficult because it just needs to be, or, you know, we're conditioned to believe that that's the way it is. Well, I'm here to tell you that everything is truly about the path of least resistance. And the more that we try to screw with ourselves to say that it needs to be hard, then the more our quality of life really suffers. So it was a hard thing for me to yank myself out of this, but I'm not looking back. I have since cut all ties. I no longer, I took this person out of my address book. Anything that this person had for like a hook into my energy field, I severed that tie and got rid of it. You know, like I know when we feel attacked or when we feel upset that you were supposed to be going into places of love and acceptance, like Ho'oponopono, the kind of thing. And, you know, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. We can do all of that stuff. But when I've been attacked by somebody like that, you know, like my immediate thought goes into really super dark territory. You know, like I'm not interested in, you know, talking about love and acceptance and that kind of stuff. I'm writing a story that's an action movie about a pressure cooker bomb. You know, that's what's going through my head because, you know, like there's anger and there's joy. There are very few emotions in between and I don't need them. But the knee-jerk reaction of being angry, especially when somebody said something nasty to you, or even worse, when this person who probably goes by Frank, Annie Banani, or Bubba at the very least, that this type of person, then they try to just say that, you know, that it has to be like this and that you're really crazy, that you're the one who needs to change and it's not them, but they're so blind to their own narcissism that it's really going to take a punishing life like mine for them to be able to understand what's really going on.
Well, and the narcissism part is what you're really fighting with, because honestly, they just don't care how they're affecting you. The bottom line for them is what they get out of it, what they want, what they need. And they really just don't have the common sense that when they disrespect someone in the manner that they do, there is no getting what they need. Because if the person that their narcissism is attacking has enough sense to know that they don't deserve that abuse ever for any reason, then the narcissist isn't going to get what they need there. They're going to meet resistance, and they're going to get their own medicine back, because the individual, you know, depending upon where their evolutionary consciousness is, isn't necessarily going to attack back. The biggest thing you can do to a narcissist is withhold the information, withhold the abuse, withhold whatever it is they're looking for, because they're not going to hear you say, that's not fair, you shouldn't do that, because you're right, that's where they have the opportunity to gaslight. But when you simply walk away from their abuse, then they don't get their needs met, because first and foremost, they need a stage and they want an audience. And if their audience disappears, they got no one to act for. So In that light of the narcissism, yeah, you've got to let that go in thinking, well, I've got to teach you a lesson, or, you know, I got to make sure you understand there's not that way you want it to be. Whatever your reasoning for continuing the banter, debate, debacle, whatever it may be in that moment, it's the wrong choice. Where narcissism is concerned, the only choice is to remove yourself from that fantasy that they're carrying on, that, you know, they're the ones that everybody's looking at, or they're the ones that need center billing, or they're the one that needs all the attention heaped on them, so they don't lose their self esteem, their self-respect. Having dealt with a lot of them in the past, I've, you know, come to learn in that manner that you're going to lose every time if you try to debate a narcissist. That they're not going to hear you no matter what word you choose, no matter how right you are, no matter what the situation is. If it doesn't end up in the way they want it to be, then there's a fight.
Right. And the best thing that I can do in those cases is to, you know, pray that God will show this person mercy through death and despair and suffering, you know, like horrible things, which we don't like to do, right? Because we're spiritualized people who don't want to, you know, go down that path. But sometimes people are so blind that you just can't get through. And that's truly when the point where you have to say, I'm sorry, Bubba, but I'm done here. You know, like I'm running the other way. And anything you want to try to do or say at this point, you're on your own now. You know, like I said goodbye 20 minutes ago. I'm hanging up the phone right now.
Yep. Go look in the mirror, dude. If you need an audience that bad, just go stare at yourself, because you only like you anyway. So it'll be a wonderful show.
Yeah, and it gets easier the more that we space ourselves from them and, you know, just say, I'm not going to participate in any other stuff. I'm just going to ignore that energy, the easier it becomes and the more we forget about it. Like a breakup, right? You know, like that person that really pissed us off in that nasty romantic relationship, you know, like that little fling that we had that was really hot and fun and then it blew up in our face, that thing. Yeah. So it's kind of the same concept, you know, like the only thing is that this person serves a different purpose that may not have been romantic. It may have been something else, and we were, you know, conditioned to believe otherwise, that this right. is for work or this is for, you know, whatever it's supposed to be. So that was a really hard thing for me, you know, just to realize, number one, that I am not crazy. And number two, I need to get my side of this before it damages me more. And then the worst part about it, Veretta, and I don't know what your thoughts are, is that, you know, when the psychic attack continues, even after you say, get the hell away from me, get out of my energy field, that kind of stuff, do spirit guides continue to bother us even after the fact? Or is that just, you know, like some self-gaslighting?
Are you, like, are you talking about they are the ones then to give you crap about what went on?
Or, you know, just like when you get those fleeting thoughts of, like, you know, negative self-talk that you didn't ask
yeah.
for, that just
no.
sort of came
okay.
out of nowhere.
Right. So no, that's not a spirit guide. A spirit guide will never, never deface you, disrespect you, treat you with anything other than a balanced, positive energy. And they're there to tell you, hey, what's going on? And if you're hearing things in a manner that it's trying to give you advice, not judgment, that's a spirit guide. But anything other than that, let's say, could be your own stuff that's coming back and kicking in your ass, wants to haunt you in the manner to, you know, for whatever reason, you're just in that stream, or negative spirit or negative energies that are just hanging on to that narcissistic's point of view and continuing to throw that at you. It's never something that you want to, anytime you have input from your internal sources, it's not something that you ever want to put off listening to, unless it is of that demeanor. And if that's the demeanor that you have always around, then that's your vibration. That's your thoughts that keep attracting that crap to keep it around you. And you really have to let go, although it's easier said than done, you have to let go of hoping to God they get theirs in return and just letting light come and regardless of what they see, regardless of what they get, let go. You have to let go of anything more so that you don't carry on. The problem is we as humans feel. So we're going to react to that feeling. And if the initial reaction or the knee-jerk reaction is to carry on that banter with your point of view being more than, different than, better than, whatever, you're going to keep the door open for the lower spirits to come in, because they're vicariously living through you, or they're vicariously living through that other individual, and you're just keeping the door open for that carrying on to continue to go. So you have to understand that when you think a thought, it does matter. If it's a bad thought, your energy's low, your vibration's low, and it continues to keep that two-way door open to revolve the icky spirits or the icky energies to come in. When you're under psychic attack, that individual either has to know how to render a low blow, or they're just damn lucky that, you know, they're actually on that train of thought that continues to attack you enough so that you feel it, that you get it. Otherwise, you're just dealing with an emotional so-and-so, and they're just continuing on until you shut the door. And when I teach, I tell people, let's be clear here. If you really don't want to know what's going on, you're not going to care to look. By that, I mean, I teach randomly. Put your foot down. When you say go away, mean it. It's so difficult not to look to see if the energy is still there, or not to feel to see if the energy is still present. And that very thing right there is what trips you up. The minute you look to see or feel to see if something is still there, or if what you're thinking has rendered it blow, then you're keeping that door open. That door is going to, nothing is going to stop. Because that door is continuously jarred open because you perpetuate it. So when you really want the suffering to end, It's pretty simple. It's actually cut and dry simple, so much so that when you say stop, you mean it. And you never pay it attention. You don't give it a thought. You don't, you know, want to come around and see how they're doing or if they're having a bad life or if someday, you know, they get their own. You don't care anymore. You just flat out don't care anymore. And that's enough to walk away. And then and only then, it will stop.
It just takes so long. And, you know, the other thing is that it's a fallacy for us to believe that, you know, we're going to look back and that, you know, is that energy still there? Do they still care about us? Absolutely not.
Right.
Like that's the worst thing that we, you know, lie to ourselves about. Does this other person care about us? No, they don't. You know,
no,
like when,
right.
And then when they tell me that, you know, that they didn't talk shit behind my back, and I know that that's 100% a lie for the sole fact because they also did it about the five people before me. So that only guarantees they'll do it about me again.
Exactly.
You know, and then this person thinks that, you know, that I'm stupid enough to buy into the bad behavior. And here's another thing about toxic behavior that a lot of people don't understand. Putting somebody down for the sake of putting them down to make you look better about, well, look what Mr. X did to me that was so awful and, you know, and how I was treated so badly and marginalized and, you know, and all of these other things. But look how much better I am than them because of how I run my practice. No, that's toxic AF, by the way, because And we're just conditioned to believe that that's okay, that that's just griping, that's just complaining. No, it's not. You know, knock somebody down to make yourself look better, you know, that's a narcissist behavior. And what's worse is the fact that people are usually too ignorant to recognize the fact that that is a toxic behavior, so they don't call it out and they just buy into the lie.
Right, and the person that's doing it, they with every word they utter, with every response they give, with everything they say or anything that comes out of their mouth is a criticism or is a negative or it knocks something in a manner, that's not, oh, just my point of view. Well, your point of view is not good. And, well, why don't you just accept it? Why don't you just listen to it and get over it? No, I don't have to listen to it and get over it. The fact is you don't have to be saying it, but you choose to. So as long as you choose to, I choose not to be here or I choose not to listen. And it's that simple.
Well,
whoops.
Yeah, just.
So just, anyway, what? No problem. So anyway, the reality of it is they don't even realize that's what they're doing. To them, it may have been the way they were brought up, the way they were raised, their conditioning when they were young, and then they carry that over to, well, I was treated really bad, like you were saying. Bubba did it to me 14 times ago, so I have a right to do it now. No, you don't. No, you don't. Or just say you want to give them a little bit back of what they've been giving you. Oh my God, what are you doing? Why are you so mean? You just disrespect me all the time. Well, too bad you can't take a lesson from that and understand that the disrespect is what you've been dishing out. So if you don't like it, don't give it. They don't understand that because that's the way they are. That's who they are. That's the way they live.
Wasn't there a story in the Bible about like some person that was on a mission to teach somebody a lesson, somebody who wasn't great, and everything that they did either backfired or it just didn't go anywhere? You know, like that, I vaguely remember this, or if it's not in the Bible, it's very certainly been in human history. It's a trope that we've all seen a million times in movies, so we don't really need to recap that whole movie story. But the thing that about it, though, is the fact that, you know, like you really can't, you know, the best thing that you can do to teach somebody like that a lesson is to be quiet, to shut your mouth, to ignore, to not engage, to not give that energy. You know, like when we give people energy, we don't seem to understand that, you know, giving people energy out of kindness, out of, you know, social skills, out of whatever reason, that enables people in ways that we are unable to understand. It's like, I hate all of these big ass companies and all of the evil things that they do. Great. Well, then why did I just spend all of this money during the Christmas season when I don't like these companies? When the best thing that I can do for myself is to manage the way that I speak through my wallet. So, you know, same concept goes with real life, that, you know, we don't have to teach these these really narcissistic people lessons, we cannot get through to them, I'm sorry to say that it's going to take a lifetime that's very painful and awful for them to be able to, for that to get through. So, right. You know, just give it up. That's really what it comes down to. And, so this is a really hard lesson that I've had to learn, is that, you know, everybody cannot be saved. And what's worse is the fact that some people are so awful that they just don't even care. So that they just continue to feed into their own BS and then put everybody down along the way.
Right, right. Well, that's the only way they can handle the thoughts going on in their head. And, you know, so I have to give that to them. So maybe they have issues. Maybe, you know, criticism is what they were raised with and that's all they know to spit out. Well, the fact is if they choose to live in that type of relationship or to that capacity, then they need to understand that's all they're going to attract. And people that don't want to live like that are going to walk away. Eventually, they're just totally alone. And they'll sit there on their pity pot looking around totally alone and not get it whatsoever at all.
That's the story of Narcissus, I believe, in the Greek
yep.
mythology. So, exactly. I mean, this is the unfortunate nature of not only just human interactions, but it's also really ramped up because we're at the end of a holiday season where we've been around all of these people and family members we don't see very often. And then we just start to realize, oh, well, you know, Uncle Chester really is kind of a creep. I never gave it a second thought, but maybe I should walk the other way.
Right, right. And, you know, that's it too, family. So people think, well, that's my brother, or that's my cousin, or that's my whatever, you know, their blood. I don't care. If they're toxic to you and their defamatory nature is hurting you to some degree, you don't have to deal with that. That, yeah, that's your family. But no, don't endure holidays where you have to sit across from someone and want to puke every time you look at them. That's not something out of the kindness of your heart you should do, because it just confirms to whomever it is that, okay, it's all right for me to sit there and, you know, pick my nose and eat it. It really is not something that you have to endure. And that's the fallacy of people. Well, it is the holidays. We just need to go make an appearance. Okay, but there better be somebody there you actually want to see. Because if you're going to make an appearance and there is no reason why and nothing there for you, maybe you need to be taking a look at your narcissistic scale level. Because honestly, or your martyr scale level, because honestly, it is not mandatory to continue to flatulate yourself over the sake of others, family or not.
Yeah, I know. And that's what a lot of us fall into, is we think, oh, it's our family. So that justifies the bad behavior. No, it doesn't. It's like, please go away. That
right.
just makes it so much worse.
Right. And I unfortunately have one of those families that, you know, and maybe two, three generations ago, it was raised. You were raised to support the family nucleus no matter what. No matter what happened, no matter what went on, no matter what abuse, let's say, occurred, you are required to participate in the family functions. And the reality of it is no, you aren't. Who's telling you that? If you're an adult, you have another adult telling you you have to come, you need to reevaluate who you're listening to and at what level of control they have over your life. If they're trying to communicate to you that it's the right thing to do because they don't know what else to do, then okay, tell them, you know what, so here's the deal. I choose not to be in the company of Uncle So-and-so because he is a creeper. And so newsflash, up to date, I learned that that is not something I have to have in my life. So I'm going to send you all my well wishes. I'll be there in spirit, maybe. And to the rest of you I love, I'd like to communicate, but that one person that you surround and keep safe and protect so your family nucleus stays intact is what I'm staying away from. So good luck with that.
You know, and that's a fundamental rule about karma also, is that if we do something without a purpose, that creates karmic strings that we don't want anything to do with. Example, I'm going to be in this relationship, even though that she's not the right one for me, because I know that being alone is so much worse than dealing with this toxic cesspool that I'm in. So meanwhile,
right.
three kids later, Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, exactly. It's like, why do I only have $2 to my name every week? Why does my life suck so much? Well, maybe you should have thought about that a few years ago when you should have cut off the gangrenous wound where it was. So, right. I mean, that's a great example of how we lie to ourselves and, you know, get involved with these things that we have no business with doing. And a lot of that is usually the result of the human experience that people are, you know, too much of a snowflake pansy to have boundaries and to be upfront and to say, no, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, would you please walk the other way right now? Because I feel that I don't feel safe around you right now. Those types of things, because people aren't willing to be direct and upfront about their needs or their wants, then that ends up creating these situations that we find ourselves in that are really ugly and we can't run from, and it really kind of ruins somebody's life. You know, the one thing that is never sexy, regret, because we don't get to do this life over again. So it's like, if you want to be 18 or 19 years old and have a baby, that's fine, but just remember that you're never getting your 20s back again, and those are the best goddamn years of your life. So I'm not really sure if that's a choice that you're going to want to make.
Right. But you don't know that because at the moment you're living it. You know, when I was 18, 19, 20, one wasn't typical in the thought that, you know, you wait till that time to leave the house. I pretty much had grown up by 15 and was living on my own. But when I was 18, 19, and 20, you know, I was living large. I was trying to get as much as I was supposed to out of life. And, of course, that included the relationship that was so ugly and resulted in 3 kids, and I loved them dearly. But at the time, I thought that was what I was supposed to do. And not only did I think that was what I was supposed to do, I thought I was supposed to try harder. And so my 20s evolved into, oh, my God, a bitchy life, because I had to run the show at 19 because the people I surrounded myself wouldn't. With, you know, and so the thing is you're right about this is the only life you're going to get. When people think, well, I'll wait and do that later, or well, I'll do that down the line, or yeah, I've got plenty of time for that. You read the news lately? No, you don't. There are people dying in their teens, 20s, 30s, dropping dead from whatever. And the fact is, you don't have all the time in the world. You don't even know how much time you have. Why spend 1 second of it in purgatory because you think tomorrow is going to be better, or if you just wait a little longer, you'll have everything you need to make that change? No, you need to do it now because tomorrow may never come. And if you don't do it now, what are you paving for your future? Your reality is if you put up with it now, down the road, you're only going to put up with more. So start the trend early. It doesn't mean you have to be cold and heartless and callous and, you know, just cut everybody off. But it does mean be real picky, be very selective, really look at what that person brings to your life. And the fact that in the future, if they're not bringing what they need to now, they're not going to later either. People, the biggest thing that kind of gets to me is when I hear, oh, it's a karmic relationship. I don't know why I have to be in this relationship, but I know I'm not supposed to leave. Oh, bullshit. You know what? So there is a thing called contract. And the reality of it is if you contracted with that individual for something in this lifetime, then the reality of it is once that contract is filled, there's no longer a need for the relationship. So when you are sitting there thinking, but it was so great when we first met 20 years ago, I know there was a purpose for it, and we are supposed to do great things together. Well, you haven't by now. What makes you think that another 10 is going to get it? It's just going to put you 30 years down the road wondering, what the hell was I thinking? I don't know, because this just didn't work out the way I thought. And people don't realize the contracts are something that needs to be filled. And they neglect to understand that once they're told this, once they're filled, they can let go and walk away. And there is no longer a need to hang on to that relationship for whatever reason. It's done. But people don't know that. People are caught up in the moment and being caught up in this now of get it, got to have it, let's live large, let's run. That's fine. That's good. Now, here you are, 60 years down the road, your body's broke. Everything you have inside you needs to be repaired and fixed because you put yourself over and over and over in the position of giving to someone that didn't give a shit. They didn't give back. They really didn't love you. there was so much more you thought you'd have to come. And the reality of it is it didn't. And if you take care of yourself when you're younger, if you take care of making you a priority and not in this narcissistic tone or not in a manner that says you neglect others or disrespect others, but in the manner that says, hey, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay to walk away from this in love and light, know that I don't need to spend a second longer than I have to in a toxic relationship that beats me up every step of the way and does not take responsibility for their own actions, does not care in the effort that it takes you to hang in there with them, because what I can see is themselves, this is where you've got to run and not turn yourself into one of them trying to get back at them in anger, because then you're just as damaged as they are.
And, you know, this is what's really interesting, is that one of the beautiful things about Uranian astrology is we can look at, you know, what brings two souls together and find and distill that information really fast. So, yeah. Like, you know, Beretta, you and I, we've looked at this before. You and I have, like, these really beautiful planets together that come that speak to, like, the astrology and metaphysics and, you know, helping people and ministry and all of that kind of stuff. So, needless to say, you and I are going to know each other for quite a long time. I'd hope that you're on the same page that this is probably our life's work.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
like, you and,
for
you,
sure. You know, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be here for a while. And then, you know, I had a relationship that imploded recently that, you know, was relatively new, and I was really looking forward to a lot of things, and I was so upset that it ended. And then when I looked more at the chart, I was like, oh, so there was, you know, like, just because I know somebody, you know, that does not have to be this big memorialized, you know, like, I'm going to marry you kind of thing. It can also just be something very simple, like, this person made a recommendation, or this person played a song, or this person served me in a restaurant. And that's the only relationship that I have to this person. And that is all. You know, like, sometimes, you know, our relationships are very plain, and we can see that in astrology. So if we look at, like, the midpoint and meridian node to see where that would line up, the meridian being I or the soul, and the node being our connections with others. So if we look at that and seeing where that falls, and that can tell us why we know somebody, what brought us together. Maybe if you've got some reciprocal things, like if you both have meridian node to each other, then that's probably going to be like a type of soulmate relationship. Like Will Smith, for example, he has really great planets with his wife. He really does. That's something that is – that's something that you don't see very often, you know, the compatibility of two people, like that they are sort of magnetized to each other. And, you know, so when we talk about this in relationships, you know, we see all of these things, you know, like that people are magnets towards each other and all of that. Well, we can actually confirm it with the chart. So, That's one of the nice things about what we do here is if you're ever wondering about, like, why do I know, hey, Ernesto, why do I know this person? Let me have their birth data and I'll compare it to yours, and then we can take a look into that. So
yeah.
That's always really nice. But it's important to note that the reason that we know somebody does not always have to be this big to-do. It can also just be something very plain, very dumb, and that's all.
Yeah, and it's so much easier when you know the point. If you know the point, then you can skip the whole heartache of thinking, oh, they're there forever, I got to hang and maintain. No, they're there to clean windows, and you're there to pay them, and that's it. Bye-bye now.
Or they're there to introduce you to a new group of people, and then you never
yep.
see them again kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, it's something that we just have to keep in mind when it comes to our relationships, so we don't feel so enslaved or, I guess, obligated to keep people around. You know, like I also had the realization not too long ago that some friends of mine from college that I haven't spoken with in a good 7 or 8 years, you know, like that these are probably people that I was never really meant to be friends with. It was just by association because, you know, the only way that ever stayed around was because I picked up the phone to engage in the conversation with somebody else. So that told
yeah.
me that obviously the phone doesn't work on their end. So is this really a relationship I need to keep around? I don't think so.
Exactly. When you're putting all the effort into it, you gotta look at that with the thought. Exactly how much energy am I willing to put in for them when they're not reciprocating?
Yeah, that's an important one. And, you know, like I'm of the belief of hyper-personal responsibility, like really take responsibility for absolutely everything that you do. It really makes life a lot easier because we don't beat ourselves up about why life sucks, because if it sucks, well, that's my fault because I chose to do these things. So a lot of people have issues with that in today's world, that they think that it's okay to place your happiness in somebody else's hands or your fate in other ways. I'm never of that belief. That I like to be in control of things. You know, it's like why I would prefer to sit at a roulette table than a slot machine, because I can at least control those odds a little bit.
Well, and that's the reality of it. You know, you don't have to put your faith into somebody that doesn't give you anything in return. That's not a prerequisite of a good relationship. And if you're putting your happiness in someone else's hands, you don't understand the process of being happy and the way that you should maintain that level of happiness. Never depend upon someone else. Happiness is not what you have or where you go or what you buy. Happiness is from inside. It's a character and property. And if you're happy all the time, I'll tell you what, when you see people that are happy all the time, very little matters to them. They can go with the flow. They don't gripe about everything. They don't have issues that, you know, they pretend to hide or they nag about all the time or whatever. They're happy. They deal with what has to be dealt with, and they let it go. And we learn from people like that, you know, because that's honestly the way what happiness is about, the way it works. We are in control. We're in control of our own boat, our own happiness, our own emotions. And seeing someone can make you happy. You know, doing certain things can make you happy, but it's not really making you happy. What it's doing in the moment is bringing you joy filled inside you, because the same person that isn't happy can see those same, very same things and get nothing from them and feel nothing at all about, you know, what they can do. So people totally cop out when they say, you know, well, I'll be happy when I meet my so-and-so. No, you won't, because if you're not happy now when you meet your so-and-so, you're more than likely going to run them off because you're really not that kind of a person.
Well, you know, and it's also just written everywhere in law of attraction stuff that all of those things come to you in the moment when you care the least. When it does not
That's
matter.
Absolutely true. That's that, because you're not controlling, you're not trying to create it. Then you are creating the path of least resistance for that something that you want.
I mean, it's important, you know, like, I mean, there was a relationship book I read a long time ago that was saying something like, if you want to be in a relationship, then everything in your bedroom should be built for two. So that would mean like the photos on your wall would have the two figures in them rather than one, because you're wanting to attract that other energy or that other person, right? So why would everything be singular if you're wanting to have a mate? So, I mean, I agree with that. That makes sense, right? The one thing I've figured out about love and relationships is this past year, I'll be honest, was like a really terrific year for me to meet somebody, you know, to settle down with and, you know, or at least get to know. And it's confirmed multiple times in my chart where I actually met somebody on the exact date when it was going to happen, but nothing ever came of it. So why? When you break down, you know, the astrology of what's happening in my chart, more specifically the alchemy regarding a lot of those relationship access points in my life, am I at a point where I truly want and crave intimacy? The answer is no. You know, I can say yes, but that's truly wishful thinking. Like, that's not – and I say it's wishful thinking because I know that's not, you know, like part of my heart or my essence of my being, right? You know, that I make this everything that I am, you know, like that walking, talking love figure, you know, yeah, that's not me. I don't do that. Not to mention that's too woo-woo anyway, but, you know, like that's sort of the concept of relationships in my chart is, you know, like I can have, you know, the intimate, you know, with like another person where I really truly get to know them as a human being in the way that, you know, you normally would. Or I could have, you know, like this really hot one night thing that's going to make me so unbelievably happy right now in this moment, but it's not necessarily something that I'm going to want to have 50 years down the line. So where I'm at right now in my life story and journey, and I absolutely accept this, I'm not ready for that other stuff yet. You know, like I haven't opened up my heart in that way. And hopefully that's a goal for me in this next coming year. My wish for everybody listening to this program right now for 2023 is that we all work the very, very best that we can to do what brings us joy in life. So all of that other stuff that we think we need to do, but we really don't, that's unhealthy for us, you know, like run away, you know, stuff that is going to give you cancer because you can't speak the way that you would like to, run away. You know, like we don't want anything to do with that. The best thing that we can do for ourselves as human beings is to engage in the things that we love. I learned at a very young age that, you know, if you don't want to be here, then just don't be. And a lot of people don't get that. And that's really key. It really is.
Well, and it really is as simple as that. If you don't want to be here, don't be. Don't come thinking you're making me happy. Don't come at my request if it's not what you want. And for God's sake, don't blame me for everything. If you're really not wanting to be here, don't stay. Makes us all happier when the anger and the jealousy and the whatever the problem is that you're having in that moment is not carried over, especially to me. Thank you very much.
And then people are so offended when you tell them, if you don't want to be here, don't be.
Don't be, yeah.
And it's like, why do you take offense to that? You know, I think I was a little boy and I tried to sign up for like an after school program or something. And, you know, my mom told me to do it and I didn't want to. And the teacher said, well, you know, Ernie, if you don't want to be here, then don't be. So I thought that was mean, but it always stuck with me. And it really, truly did. And I've always made that a rule in my life. And you know what? You know, the worst part, manifestation of that phrase is living beings that do not want to be here anymore. And, you know, so they, you know, sit there and waste their life away in front of the television or, you know, doing whatever it is that they do to be negative and nasty towards everybody else because they're just sick of it. You know, like those are the types of people that I wish would just get the heck out of my breathing space first.
Well, and I'm sure some of them wish they had the guts to do something about it too, but they don't. You know, that's probably a lot of the problem. People don't have the wherewithal to take themselves away, however that may be, in whatever context you want to say that. If they don't want to be here, they shouldn't be, period.
Yeah,
and
no need to
probably going to manifest that eventually. But, you know, the thing is, too, they'll put everybody else through hell while they're not wanting to be here. The thing about that is, too, there's a lesson. You know, there's a reason you're here. And in the reasoning of that lesson, you should be actually learning it. Maybe it would take some of the icky away if you got under your belt what you're supposed to know about this lifetime, you know, and stop sitting there wasting your breath and everybody else's good wishes because you just don't want to put any effort or energy into it on your own. It's a lot easier to place blame than accept responsibility.
It really is, yeah. And that's, and especially with society today, that's how so many of us are conditioned anymore, that we don't want to own up to our own actions. And then when you hold somebody's feet to the fire, then you're considered mean.
Exactly. You are. Get off my back. Don't tell me what to do. Leave me alone. All right. Well, you're going to get what you want here very shortly.
You know, it's like, don't tell me what to do. Okay, well, then don't offer your opinions or advice because I didn't ask for it.
Right. Right.
And then they don't get that. So it's just, so then it becomes, you know what? It's just better if we don't talk to each other at all. It's easier for you to not be in my life to bring this crap up than for me to give myself cancer over having a conversation with you.
Right. Over and over and over.
And we literally give ourselves cancer, by the way, by suppressing those things that we don't want to say.
Well, and yeah, we do make ourselves very ill when we suppress what we know or what we need to say or what we want to get off our chest. And we're just as, you know, responsible for our actions as we're asking them to be. So in that way, we're the ones that are troubling the problem. We're creating and manifesting the reasons, like you said, that you don't want to be in a relationship like that because they make you ill. They make you sick. They make you unwell for so many reasons in so many ways.
And remember, you know, like because we're having this conversation now at the surface where everything is still, you know, like kittens and rainbows, we can still get ourselves out of this. We still have the ability to run the other way. You know, like we don't have to dance with the dragon in the room because we think we need to. That's really not necessary. It's like in the whole mindset of cognitive behavioral therapy, challenging your thoughts. So what happens if we do that scary thing that you've been putting off, you know, to yank yourself out of the situation? Really, what happens if you're on your own then? What does that look like? It can't be worse than where you are now. You know, like
right.
that's the way I rationalize it anyway, is that nothing can be worse than being abused.
And that's the truth. Nothing can be worse than being abused. And it's at every level that you, you know, can look at. Abuse doesn't mean physical, just physical. There's also emotional, mental. There's so many forms of abuse. And people just don't understand it, that even a little is too much.
It really is. So I really hope that, you know, this next year we all learn to get along with each other. I know we're still quite a ways off before that really sinks in. Next year, if we're talking about like a forecast for the future and all of that kind of stuff, come the spring, by about like mid-March, beginning of April, something is going to go down, and it's whatever event it was that's supposed to quote unquote hit the fan, that's finally happening. You know, like all of this, you know, like waiting for the other shoe to drop, and we're all just so anxious, like this big thing is going to finally come. Well, that's going to happen in the spring, and then things are going to get a lot more real than what we would probably like.
Yeah.
It's really going to change, I think, a lot of things. Coming into the following year, into 24, money will become a lot more of an issue then. Like there will probably be a lot more prison camps around the world. Like that's even something that's starting to shape up right now, is that, you know, like all of the terrible detention camps and everything that happened during the Second World War, we will probably see a lot more of stuff like that. And, you know, if you pay attention to the news headlines at all, Taiwan is a really hot spot in the world for those types of things. So that's going to be definitely coming down the horizon on this next year, is the big blow up that we've all been looking for. It's finally going to happen, and we can finally, you know, like get going on this big change piece that we've been waiting for so long.
And, you know, yeah, it's going to create hardship. It's going to be something we do have to endure. But if we remember that we don't want to continue to maintain the level of whatever we were dealing with like before, so we have to go through, or we do need to endure the change and the transition of it. And sometimes that just isn't easy. You know, when you're looking at that on a global or a country, a nation level, it's just doubly not easy, because it's not just affecting, you know, you or yours or some people, or it's everybody that's going through this influence. So therefore, there will be a change globally on what we think, how we act, what we do. And it's a necessary change. It really is.
And I really hope it's all for the positive. I mean, if we're looking at like change at a global level, even like 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, I was pretty concerned that the world was going to get very dark around 2020. Fortunately, it never did. And I think a lot of that is because like just the general course or trajectory of humanity, as far as human beings and our own actions are concerned, that enough of humanity has evolved, or I'd like to think this, that we didn't have, you know, that hailstorm of darkness in 2020 like I was expecting. That's still a little bit down towards in the future, but we're not quite there just yet. So at this point in time, you know, I'd like to think that we've kind of dragged ourselves out of some really serious crap here. It could have gotten a lot worse, and I think the pandemic truly could have been a lot worse than the way it was. But that, you know, hopefully people are starting to do their own thing so we can think more positively about what's coming down the turnpike for us.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when you say it wasn't as bad as it was, well, I guess maybe, too, you have to look at what position you were, you know, what springboard you stood on when you went through that transition. And if when we say it could have been so much worse, well, if you lost a loved one that you hadn't anticipated or couldn't really deal with without, it was a worse time of your life. So again, when we talk about making yourself happy, yeah, I think if you want to just continue to endure the woe is me, you're going to really be having something to scream about, because stuff is going to happen and it is going to get real. And if you're not prepared by, so the thing I always look at and wonder, think, oh my God, what would they do if something bad really did happen? Then they would really have to deal with or figure out what to do about that. And they're crying because they broke a shoe. This is going to be bad. This is going to be very bad. So it really depends upon what you're prepared for and your constitution and your capability of looking at the little things and not focusing on the crap as, you know, your entire life, just seeing it as something that you had to put up with for about a minute. And then when the bad things do occur, you have a little better perspective on how to handle that challenge.
You know, it reminds me of one of my favorite TV shows is the Great British Bake Off. I'm watching some of the older seasons on Roku right now. And one of the hosts brought it up with a contestant, best line ever. Wait, so you can make a macaroon, but you have no idea how to boil an egg. And
right.
I think that that's kind of a lot of people in today's world, is that when that comes time where we have to boil an egg, a lot of people are going to be in trouble because they don't know what that is.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. Yeah. They make their whole life about one specialty or one event or one solving one problem. They hang up their shingles. They're done now. They don't need to do anything more. Try to live off that laurel for the rest of their life. That's not going to bring much help to you in the future.
You know, and that's something that I've really had to wrestle with this past week is that, so, all right, so I cut off the gangrenous wound, right? I got rid of the cancerous source out of my life. You know, I already decided that whatever this thing was that I thought I needed, it's not important, so I'm going to go off and do my own thing and cross that bridge in the future. Now, what happens if I was wrong? You know, like, what if I was wrong? You know, what if that person really did matter? And I lived my whole life as a lie. Well, truth be told, this is the way it was supposed to go anyway, because, you know, like that's the free will piece of it, that everything that we think that we're supposed to be doing, you know, there may be a greater plan for us, and that's fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, we really are doing what we're supposed to be doing one way or the other. So, you know, well, that's gaslighting is what that is, that we think to ourselves that we have to put ourselves in this situation. We have to endure these circumstances to be stronger or to do X, Y, Z, whatever. It doesn't matter, because it's my life choice to cut off this person and to find out what happens with the unknown. I'll figure these things out as that time comes. That's, you know, more thrilling and exciting to me than being abused. So this is the path that I'm going to choose for myself. And a lot of us are very afraid to make those choices. Like, so what happens if I tell that person off and then I don't have a roof over my head and I'm living out of my car? What next? Well,
yeah.
You'll figure it out, and it's where you're meant to be anyway. You know, like this, I could probably even confirm it in your charts that you would have to go through some type of upset like that to really get knocked onto the course that you're supposed to be on.
All right. And it's difficult because some people can rationalize themselves right into a denial of that whatever they're going to do is going to be better. So they just don't. They don't get it. They don't get that they should be, or that, you know, they have that opportunity, but they have to make it happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, well, it looks like that everybody is out tonight for New Year's Eve. I'm going to call it a night because I just have some things I need to work on here. Beretta, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the special show. And I know it's the end of the year, and we'll be back in a few more weeks here after the 18th when Mercury goes direct. And we'll be on with a new format of show. So be sure to go over to eastrologer.tv and sign up for email updates, so that way we can let you know where to find us in the future.
Perfect.
Well, Beretta, thank you so much for being on the Uranus Happens show. It was really terrific having you, and I look forward to working with you in the new show that we're going to be coming up with soon here.
I'm excited about it, too. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, and I just want to give everybody a little bit of a preview of that. The new show will be called Celestial Intersections, which sits at the corner of science and spirit, and that's going to be the focus of the show, is doing a lot of the conversations that we have here today in this current format, but we're just going to be extending it further with a little bit more of a talk show feel to it. So it's really exciting and looking forward to all of that. And you'll even be able to write in your questions if you'd like to get on the show that way. So, Veretta, thank you so much for everything, and we will catch up with you real soon. And I do wish all of our subscribers a very happy 2023, productive and full of love and all of that good stuff. Thanks so much, everybody, and we will catch up with you guys real soon.
Happy New Year.
Take care, and until next time, good luck and Godspeed.